It's kind of depressing to see people that are more into the things of the world that are so not important, and they're missing out the most important things all around the world. You know, there's a lot of churches where if you ask them, do you teach about the historical meaning of Jerusalem's recognition, all that, they say, no, we don't talk about these things. And then you ask them, why don't you talk about these things? I mean, Jerusalem is in the Bible. Hello. they say that they don't want to be political. And so you're saying to yourself, since when Jerusalem is a political thing? If you think about it, you know, it appears almost 1,000 times in the Bible. And it's there as the capital of Israel, and it's there as the one place where Jesus ascended from, and it's the one place where he will return to, and it's the place where he is going to show up himself, and his own people, the Jewish people, will look at him whom they pierce, and they will mourn, and they will cry, and they will repent, and they will accept him, and as Romans 11 says, and all Israel will be saved. And it can only happen if Jerusalem is in their hand, and it can only happen if they live there and if they have that state over there. So since when it's political? So you see, churches want to be more trendy and seeker friendly, and with it they compromise on doctrine, and they just wipe out so much. And it starts with the story of creation and the whole book of Genesis that is not being taught anymore. We surveyed churches all across the world. That book is no longer being taught. They think in light of all Darwinism and in light of, evolution, there's no point of teaching a fiction of 6 days creation. That's what they say. I mean, you're asking yourself, so I come to someone and I tell him that he need to repent. What for? If there is no sin. And if there is sin, where did sin start? If not right there in the Garden of Eden. So you cannot really come and preach Jesus unless you go all the way back to Genesis. And Jesus is there already promised in Genesis chapter 3. So the whole doctrine of salvation is completely gone. And not only that, the story of the truth of the gospel based on Genesis that is no longer being taught, but also with that, the need to repent, and the entire role of Israel is completely hidden from them. And you know, Israel is a nation that it's hard for people to understand, but God chose them for a reason and for a season, and through them he wants to advance his plans and to reveal himself to the whole world. And so if you take them away, if you remove that whole thing, you're basically hindering God's entire plan of salvation for the whole world. It's through them that he brought the faith in one God. It's through them that he brought this, the Word of God. It's through them that he brought the Son of God. And these are things that were needed. And if, of course, he will come back to them. And that which he will do through them, by them, for them, every time he says, I'm going to do that, that the nations will know that I am the Lord. So it bothers me to see all of those things. You see, people mind their own business. They don't want to talk about the choices of God and the things that he did with the people of Israel. And by the way, that which he did with the people of Israel was so you will not have to go through the same mistakes and do the same mistakes. I mean, you can learn from that. But you know, the Bible says in Acts 17, when Paul came to the city of Athens and he saw all of those wise people who think they know everything, he says, truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked. I mean, when you worship so many other gods and you follow so many other directions and you just were so far away, you know what? Those times of ignorance, God overlooked. And I want all of us to say, but now, he commands all men. Can we say that? All men, not some. And he commands all men everywhere. Can we say that? Everywhere. What to? To repent. You see, you take the repent away and it's gone. That's it. So God now commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Isn't that amazing? So that's it. No more excuses. The times of ignorance he has overlooked, but now you're in trouble. You can no longer say, I did not know. It's there. Instead of seeing the hand of God in Israel and the Middle East like never before, everyone is more into the politics of scaring people. And by the way, a lot of people are doing that even in the church and even from pulpits. There's a war coming, it's all war, war, war. And instead of understanding that God is actually giving us right now a time of peace, a time when it's calm, and it's really the calm before the storm. And you know, Satan tries to scare people. If you are withdrawing from the Iran deal, there will be a world war. If you are doing this, there will be, they're scaring everyone. Politicians are masters in it. That's why I enjoyed so much yesterday. President Trump was there standing full of confidence saying, America has restored its status all around the world. And then he said, people respect us now. And in fact, they want to talk peace with us, not war with us. Peace through strength. So politicians are just scaring people all the time. But unfortunately, I don't care much about politicians, but unfortunately so many people within the church are trying to do the same thing. A war is coming. And then they say, so many of them suggest that that which is written in Psalm 83 is about to take place. Israel will be attacked from all around. And just get ready. Then they quote the Jerusalem Post that says all the forces of the Israeli reserves are now all around the border. State of emergency. And I'm there. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, even newspapers can be wrong. And I'm looking around, and I'm the Jerusalemite, never heard of that, of course. And it breaks my heart to see that instead of understanding why it is important to embrace that peaceful time right now, for a reason, for a season, there is such a thing, we're always thinking about war. And it's interesting because if you really think about it, Psalm 83 is a psalm that speaks that of all the countries right around Israel, all those who borders with Israel, and they come against Israel to destroy it from, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more. And then the Bible gives us their names. And you know what? Half of them either don't exist anymore or they have peace with Israel right now, like Jordan and like Egypt. And you know what? It goes all the way to the Saudi and the Gulf states that are right now not talking war, but talking peace with Israel. Believe it or not, you have to understand that the only countries that are actually about to get ready for a war against Israel are countries that don't even border with Israel, such as Russia, such as Turkey, such as Iran, such as Sudan, such as Libya. They don't have border with Israel. They never tasted a taste of defeat, not defeat from Israel, but defeat from the Lord, the keeper of Israel. They have never really tasted that. A war in the Middle East is always really about control and about power. And it will come. Don't worry. It will come. Just as we speak right now, today. I know it's already middle of the night in the Middle East. But today there were three emergency meetings in three different countries. In Turkey, the Central Bank of Turkey had an emergency meeting. The Turkey lira is just plunging. It's tanking. If it was 2 liras for 1 US dollar, it's almost getting to 5 today. They don't know what to do. Erdogan is causing them to just, the economy is falling apart. Iran just lost, thanks to your president, lost business of more than $100 billion. $1 billion. And the Europeans had a big, important meeting today because they banked on the Iranian money. You understand? All their moves in the last, I don't know, 2-3 years were all based on future business with Iran. And Iran just lost everything. And then you have an American president that says, we've never had it better. Our economy is turning around. Our unemployment is at record low. America's about to be the number one exporter of oil in the world. You have to understand that in order to have the next war, which will come, I'm not a prophet, come from a non-profit organization, you know that. But the Bible says there will be a war. I don't disagree with that. However, for the next real war, we first need a time of peace and prosperity. And some people are trying to scare you from going to Israel because it's dangerous. I had a group just about a week and a half ago in Israel when those Iranian militias fired 32 missiles towards the Golan Heights. Out of the 32, 28 fell in Syria and 4 were shut down by Israel. And my group's biggest danger was overeating. They didn't even hear about this until I told them in the morning. That's how dangerous it is over there. Ladies and gentlemen, we never had it more peaceful than we have it today. And you have to understand, I come from a family of Holocaust survivors. My grandparents survived Auschwitz. When they first made it to Israel, the first 10, 15 years of Israel existence, every person in Israel wasn't sure if they will make it tomorrow. We're not sure if Israel will even make it as a country. We were in a stress mode because we didn't have enough weapon. We didn't have a proper army. We didn't have the good alliance of countries to come and help us. We were completely out there ready for some other countries to devour us. And we've seen the amazing hand of God in 1948, in 1956, in 1967, in 1973. We've seen it one time after the other. And then our enemies decided we can't fight them. The Jordan decided we're not going to fight them anymore. They didn't even join the 1973 war. And then Egypt decided we better have peace with them. And then in 1979 they had peace with us. You understand that it's not Israel, it's the way God fought for Israel that convinced those big countries around us that there is no point of fighting them. Now, we really don't need a peace treaty right now to have this peace and that prosperity. Treaties in the Middle East don't worth much, as you know. Even the Antichrist, when he will come and he will suggest a peace of 7 years, he will not even be able to keep that for more than 3.5 years. I mean, it's pathetic that the world leader of these days will offer a peace that will make him such as a messiah in the eyes of the Jews and in the eyes of the rest of the world, yet he wouldn't even be able to keep it for more than 3.5 years. How pathetic it is. A real rise to power is possible only when the most powerful nation on planet Earth is behind you. And we've never, ever, since the day Israel was born, we never had such a support from America as we have today. I'm going to tell you something. Even in the times of 1948, when President Truman acknowledged Israel as a state, the State Department didn't want that. I don't know if you know that. George Marshall, the Secretary of State, threatened to resign over that. He thought it's the wrong thing to do. You have to understand, it took one president. Today, the entire administration is behind Israel. Today, you've got government officials in every branch of your government that are born-again, spirit-filled Israel lovers and supporters. It's unbelievable. A real war in the Middle East is not a few rockets from Gaza or a few rockets from Hezbollah or whatever. That's not a war. There's no war in Israel. A war is when military powers of huge countries are coming against you. And the Bible describes it as a huge cloud coming to cover the nation. as a storm that is over. That's why I describe it now as the calm before the storm. Because when it comes, the Bible gives us an amazing, quite chilling description of that war. And it will come as a great dark cloud over the land. And it is going to be something you will not be able to miss. You will not be able to interpret it in any other way but a great, by the way, world war. I mean, when you think about it, Ezekiel talks about Russia all the way from the far north. You're talking about Turkey. You're talking about Iran from Asia. This one from Europe. You're talking about from Africa, Sudan. You're talking about Libya. From all corners. It's a mini world war. And for the first time in the history of Israel, Israel will be attacked by a superpower such as Russia. Up until now, what was it? Egypt or Jordan or Syria or Lebanon? It wasn't anything too big. But we're talking about a world power coming against Israel. And another world power, America, that will not be there for Israel. That is going to be something very, very different than what we see today. America, obviously, when that war will come, is not going to maybe even be able to help Israel. And we're going to try and understand why in a few seconds. But the current U.S. administration is different than anything we've seen in the past 50 years. Now, you have to understand something. We did have several presidents in the past that helped Israel, such as Truman in 48, who loved the Jewish people for their heritage and for their friendship. He grew up with Jewish people. He had Jewish people in his own profession in the garment industry and all of that. However, in 1973, you know, a president that a lot of people love to hate, President Nixon, I don't know if you know that, but he was there when we had one of the most tragic wars where we lost over 1,600 soldiers, a war where Israel almost was annihilated, a war that broke out on the holiest day of Israel's calendar, the Yom Kippur. And that war, two days into that war, Golda Meir picked up the phone and called Richard Nixon and said, "Mr. President, if America is not going to help Israel in the next 24 to 48 hours, Israel will no longer exist." And President Nixon paused and then he answered and said, "Golda, my mother used to read me Bible stories when I was a child. I remember one day she paused as she read me one of the stories. She said, 'Richard, I want you to promise me that if you ever get a chance to help save the Jewish people, you must promise me that you're going to do so.'" And then he said, "Golda, probably for the first time, I understand why I became the President of the United States of America." And I tell you something, folks. That phone conversation was over. He picked up the phone, called the Pentagon, and the largest airlift of armament since World War II took place. In the next 72 hours, everything shifted. Israel was able to push back the enemy, and we survived. And they didn't even take a square inch from Israel, but it was not nice. So we're speaking of the establishment of Israel in Truman's day. We're talking about how Israel's survival was depending a lot on America's help in the time of Nixon. But what we see today is completely different. We're seeing today a proactive thing. It's not like Israel is calling for help. We're seeing an administration that is actually saying, "We believe that Jerusalem is your capital. We are going to move our embassy to Jerusalem." By the way, the talk is that in the next few months, America will recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights as well. Just so you know. I want to remind you the situation just a few years ago. Benjamin Netanyahu, just 2.5 years ago, stood on the podium in the United Nations General Assembly, and he was quiet, he was silent for about 30 seconds because he was ashamed at the silence of the people in light of the attempt to annihilate Israel, in light of the public calling for the destruction of Israel and how the nations of the world do nothing about it. He was ashamed, he felt lonely, he felt alone, he thought, "I don't care if you're with me or against me. We will do whatever it takes to defend our country." And that was a moment that he will never forget. We were so isolated just a few years ago. The same was also the United States. The U.S., just about up until 2 years ago, was the leading force to create the New World Order. You have to understand, the interest of America were not the interest of the administration. It has to be very clear. And we see that the prayers of so many people around this country and around the world. You know, the Bible says in James that the effective and fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And I believe with all of my heart that America was on the brink of falling into the abyss. I believe that you were just about less than an inch from falling, and God, by His grace, stopped it. Prayers work. There's no doubt about it. Just so you know, America is now respected once again. I'm just going to give you the list of all the companies that decided to pull out of any business with Iran in the last 72 hours. Okay, it starts with the Boeing and Airbus. It continues with British Petroleum, with a big energy company of France called Total, with a big energy company of Poland called PGNiG, for a big bank in Germany that was supposed to give loans to some of those companies called DZ Bank, for a big energy company in Italy called Eni, for the big French car manufacturers of Renault and Citroën and Peugeot, and a big Danish container company called Maersk, and a big Danish oil tankers called Torm. All these companies did not even wait for their governments to decide anything. They pulled out immediately because they want to do business with America. America could not even dream of having such respect just up until 2 years ago. It's amazing how prayers worked, and we see Israel in the last few years found trillions of cubic feet of gas and oil in the Middle East. By the way, I believe that is exactly what was the hook that brought Russia to the Middle East. It brought them down to Syria, not because they care much about Bashar al-Assad. They want to keep their interest in the Mediterranean in case, I mean, they want, let's put it this way, they want to enjoy the spoils. The Prime Minister of Israel was interviewed to Judge Jeanine just about a few days ago on Fox News, and I was shocked. He said this. He said, Russia is not in agreement with Iran in Syria because Iran competes with Russia on the spoils. Think about it, the spoils. And I'm thinking to myself, he must have read Ezekiel 38. Because the whole point of that war is spoils. The whole point of that war is nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with tradition, nothing to do with politics. It has to do with spoils. The Bible says they're coming to take booty, to steal, to plunder, to just take. Wow. Israel is now recognized all over the world for the technology and innovation. We harvest water from the air. You sneeze, we drink. The Israeli cow is the most productive cow, I mean, complains, but produces. The most productive cow in the world. Every moo is computerized. Israel is in the cybersecurity is the leading country in the world. Even in weapon systems that are defensive weapon systems, people are buying our systems from all over the world. You know that the Israeli Prime Minister's office is the most visited office in the world by world leaders, second only to the White House. Unbelievable. And America, as I said, is gaining its allies' respect once again. Look at the way President Trump is being accepted. When he came to Saudi Arabia, they never, ever accepted any American president like that. Never in the history. When Barack Obama came to Saudi Arabia, no one waited for him at the airport. No, I'm not. I mean, you can check that one out. Ladies and gentlemen, America is coming and is unashamedly saying, This is a bad guy. This is the good guy. You're out. We're dealing with you. That's it. You can't bluff. You can't lie. You can't deceive no more. We know what you're doing. We've seen it. We found it. We know you're busted. And now you have to bear the consequences. America is prospering beyond any prediction right now. You understand what's going on right now? Your lowest unemployment ever, in 30 years and 20s, depends where. All in general, it's the lowest in, 15, 20 years, and then you can divide it to among the Latinos, among the African Americans. I mean, it's everywhere. It's just the lowest, at least in the last 20 years. But in some places in America, you may not know, there are more jobs than people. Did you know that? Some people are actually going to universities and are asking the university to let people graduate earlier because they need people to work in their companies. Unbelievable. We are enjoying a time like never before. And now you understand something. God is on the throne giving America, and I believe giving Israel, a very significant time of calm, peace, and prosperity, but it's for a season and for a reason. And by the way, the enemy is not happy. Not at all. Israel intelligence helped thwarting at least 30 terrorist attacks in the last few months across the world. You understand? We, as you know, last summer, our intelligence was given to the Australians authorities, and 24 hours before a big Airbus A380 was blown up in the air, they managed to stop the people and arrest them. We found out that there is a plot to do that. We gave the Australians immediately the information, and all of that was by four Israeli soldiers that are 19 years old. Now, why is it that we have this calm? We have to ask ourselves, why? Couldn't we just have war right now? I mean, so many people wondered, I don't know why. First of all, I believe that millions of prayers were answered. I believe so. We believe that when we pray, God answers. God listens. We also believe that it is to prepare the region for a war. You understand something. Look, I just described how Israel's economy and Israel's prosperity is amazing. Just described how America is doing well. But guess what? Russia is tanking. Iran is tanking. Syria, Turkey is, you understand that which is amazing in this part of the world, it's a big tragedy for others. So the calm here is preparing the storm in a very near future by those who are so angry with what they see. It is to prepare the region for a war. Russia, Turkey, and Iran must bleed, and they are bleeding right now. And Israel must prosper. But that's what Ezekiel says. I don't say that. Ezekiel says that the land of Israel has to be safe, secure, and prosperous. And for them to come is what? Is to come and take spoil. To come and plunder. To come and steal. It is a desperate move out of financial reasons. You have to understand that. The third reason is to make sure, this time of calm right now, to make sure that Jerusalem's status is set and ready for what's next, which is the temple. I want to share with you something. And I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But over the last couple weeks, I told you, Israel is in euphoria. We've never had it before. I mean, not only that there was the withdrawal from the Iran deal. Not only that we managed to bring the content of 12 vaults. From the heart of Tehran, we managed the entire, the holy of holies of the Iranian nuclear weapons program that they denied forever. We managed to go into their warehouse, open those safes, empty them, put them on two trucks. The two trucks traveled to two different directions. They crossed the border to Azerbaijan. From there, they were flown to another country. From there, they were shipped to another one. From there, they made it to Tel Aviv. And we recruited over the next 10 days every possible Farsi-speaking Israeli intelligence officer in order to start translating everything before a decision will be made regarding Iran. And we did. And it took us exactly 30 days to translate it all. And then when Benjamin Netanyahu traveled to Washington to meet with President Trump, he already gave him a copy of everything and asked him to send his agents to come and authenticate for themselves the papers, that they are indeed real. Ladies and gentlemen, now wait. So we recovered that from Iran. President Trump withdraws from Iran's deal. We hit the Iranians in Syria in the largest and the most comprehensive airstrike since 1974. They're almost gone there. We have Jerusalem's embassy moved. Not only one, but so far four embassies moved to Jerusalem. America set the direction for other countries as well. And all of that caused so many Israelis, and I've been watching online, Israelis started for the first time. I'm 20 years old. Okay, 45. So, in my 45 years, I've never heard so many Israelis using the term Messianic days, the days of the Messiah. Now, listen. They think this guy can be real, President Trump. It's too good to be true. Everything we want, we get. We think about it, and he's doing it. And so they think this has to be godly intervention. It has to come from God. He's like, and they're using the term, he's like a Messiah. Now, I heard that, I got chills. You know, I said, wow. And then I thought to myself, if a friendly conservative president is securing Jerusalem status and people think he might be the Messiah, can you imagine a liberal European one that will allow the Jews to have a temple in Jerusalem automatically will be crowned as Messiah? You understand what we see? We see the preparation in the hearts of Israel to receive, to think, to entertain their thoughts in maybe some foreign leader might be after all the Messiah. I never heard that before in my life. I didn't even think I will live to see that. And here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that peaceful time on one hand sets Jerusalem in our hands, sets Jerusalem's status as Israel's. Now the talk is no longer about dividing Jerusalem. It's gone. Now the talk is, will the temple stand there? When? How? Did you know that the U.S. ambassador to Israel was just taken, was on a picture with a poster that shows the temple instead of the Al-Aqsa Mosque? Yesterday. And immediately the Palestinian leadership they were outraged. And of course, everyone has his own thing, but think about it. I don't think he even wanted to hold it. Somebody held it right next to him, and now the whole world is talking about it. But I believe that this time of calm is a time of grace for the saints to occupy, to be watchmen. What is a watchman? It's someone who can see that the war is coming, and he's high above. He understands, he can see, and he needs to warn the people. A watchman is not a fighter. The fighter is a fighter. There's a war already. A watchman is before the war is coming. He can see it about to come. So we are called to be watchmen. We are called to warn the people. We are called to preach the gospel. We are called to get ready for our soon departure. And it, you understand, this is amazing. What we see now is, and President Trump, it's interesting, yesterday he said, guys, you cannot be complacent. He talked politics, of course. He talks about the coming midterm elections. He said, we won 2016. He can't fall asleep for the 2018. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish he could talk in Christianese right now and tell the people, there is a time of grace right now. Don't fall asleep. Do what you need to do. Wake up. So that's why we needed to come. And it is right now. It may not last for too long. But it's for a reason. It's for a season. And why is the storm, by the way? Why would God allow the storm? First of all, to expose the real intentions of man's heart. You know, all the enemies of Israel were not sent by God to fight Israel. God allowed them to fight Israel. But then God returned and punished them for that. It's God doesn't want them to hate Israel, but since they already hate, he allowed them to do what they did and then judged them for that. And God is about to expose, by the way, not just those active enemies, but all those who are silently allowing them to do that. To expose the heart of man. And then the second thing why this is going to come, for God to be glorified and for Satan's plans to be sabotaged, because the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 38, yes, indeed, a storm is coming. And God says why it is going to come. First of all, he says in verse 9, you will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Then the Lord said, says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will rise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. You see the evil plan I talked about? To expose that evil plan. The evil plan, you will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, and to take plunder and to take booty and to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. He speaks of how Israel is back in the land. Those waste cities are again inhabited. And now the enemy is coming. And all he wants to do is steal and plunder and take. And Israel is described here as very peaceful, very secure, and obviously prosperous if the enemy wants to come and attack. And it's very interesting because he says, you are coming. In verse 15, he says, you will come from your place out of the far north. Looking at the map, what is the far north, if not Russia? And then he says, not only that you come from the far north, he said, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nation... Listen to this. So that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? It's interesting how Ezekiel speaks of himself in past tense. He writes, in past tense. Ezekiel is talking about what God is telling Gog in the future. You are the one of whom Ezekiel spoke of. Amazing. And the Lord says, that day that will come, I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. God is going to use the evil plans and the evil thoughts and the evil intentions of the enemies of Israel to be glorified. So why war? God is not orchestrating the war. He allows that which they already had in their mind. And he says, go ahead, be my guest. But you're going to be defeated. And the whole world is going to see that. Because I, the Lord, am the overseer of everything. You think you know. Mr. Putin, you know nothing. Mr. Erdogan, you know nothing. Mr. Rouhani, go to school. You know nothing. The Lord God of Israel understands your thoughts before you even think them. Amazing. And number three, why the storm? To set the stage for the hour of trial. The hour of trial. The trial. What trial? The trial of, okay, I won this war. I am your God. I just fought your war. Are you going to follow me or not? And then comes someone who introduces peace. All right. You're going to go and follow him? It's an hour of trial. It's an hour of trial, and the Antichrist is going to rise to introduce peace. The Antichrist, what people don't understand, is not a man of war. He's a man of peace. He's going to get the hearts of the Israelite, of the Jewish people, not because he's going to fight any war. It's because he's going to introduce peace. He's going to allow them to build temple. He's going to be the beloved one. He's going to be the person whom they admire the most. And after such a terrible war that Ezekiel describes, comes someone and says, not only that you are going to be okay and safe, I will allow you for the first time in 2,000 years to build a temple. It's not a question whether Jerusalem is yours or not. It is yours. We've established that. Now, a temple can stand. Go ahead. Once they're done with the temple and it's ready and they start sacrifice, then he will say, sorry. You just got the wrong memo. I am God. What a fool man to think that the Jewish people will worship him as God. You see, you have to remember, the reason why the Jews rejected Jesus is not because he was or was not the Messiah. The problem they had with him is blasphemy. Because they believe a Messiah has to be a human being and cannot be God. Therefore, if he says he's a God, that's the blasphemy. That's why we need him to be tried. So when the Antichrist is going to come and say, I am God, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, then the Jewish people will say, we're sorry. You're not God. We know who God is. And then he will chase them all the way to the desert. Taking you to Petra, it's going to be my privilege to show you where probably my nation is going to hide for 1260 days. Interesting. In the area of Bosra. So in order for the Antichrist to rise and introduce peace, there has to be a war. You understand that? And that is why I believe God will allow that storm to come. If by securing Jerusalem, Jews are already talking about the Messianic era, what is going to happen when the temple is built? They will definitely embrace that man as the Messiah. The hour of a trial is at hand. Calm, storm, fake peace. And then comes the real judgment. The judgment of God. The wrath of God. And Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to preserve, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I believe that God will take us before the Antichrist will show his true face, will emerge as world leader and deceive the world. That's what I believe. That's why it's so important. Behold, I am coming quickly, he said. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. You see, it's so easy now to fall asleep, to become complacent,
America is prospering. Israel is prospering. Things are going great. Everything is wonderful. In fact, this is the last hour before the storm. This is the time for you to ask yourself, am I a believer? Do I know God? Am I saved? Will He come and take everyone? Am I going to be taken? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Do I know Him and His suffering and the power of His resurrection? Am I His child? Now, of course, if you have been born again, you know exactly that it happened. You know, John 3:3 is all about, in order to enter the kingdom of God, one must be born again. The first birth is something that everyone has. The second birth is what you want to have, because he who has the second birth will not enjoy or go through the second death, which is the eternal death of those who do not believe. Amen. And so, regarding Israel, just to make it clear to everyone, God wanted a flagship nation that was an example to the world, not of how they behave, but of how He behaves. You understand that? We can learn by observing the twists and turns of the love story between God and Israel and the kind of character that we follow. We can see His faithfulness. We can see His standards. We can see His compassionate love and mercy, as well as His jealousy and wrath when He is rejected for others. And if you fall into that trap of forgetting Israel, or thinking that God had forgotten all about them, then you're actually hurting God's. Because I always tell people, Israel is your insurance policy for God's faithfulness, love, and covenant-keeping nature. So, here we are, enjoying the calm, waiting for the storm, and we have to ask ourselves, are we ready?